everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 58 minutes. I have a person I've known for a long time. I have the greatest respect for him. He was the mayor of North Adams. When they named the city North Adams, they made him mayor, and he's been there ever since. But no, I kid. I kid. John Barrett, are you still the longest serving mayor in the Commonwealth?
In North Adams, I've actually been bypassed by Dean Mazzarella, who's now presently the mayor in Leominster. I guess he can't get a job like the rest of us. So stay there till they boot him.
Well, you did a heck of a job. And the one thing that you've done a lot up there with the college and everything, but the one thing that I really, really think you need to take some credit for is Mass Mocha. Really and truly. You worked hard. It showed the two parties can work together, actually.
Well, you know the funny, and you're absolutely correct. It was actually three governors that played a key role in getting it done, and they were all Republicans. And of course, Mike Dukakis, way back when, did get us the money into the bond bill. Never got it released, but it was those three Republicans that came through. So that was a bipartisan effort, and I think that paid off well for us. But, you know, when you talk about Mass Mocha, it reminds me of a story. A political leader, a politician many years ago told me, you know, people are quick to criticize politicians. And I don't always like that word.
Yeah.
But they're always quick to point the finger at us. But you know what? Nothing good or bad, maybe, but nothing happens without the involvement of political leaders, no matter where they may come to. And even now in my job, we help so many people, and that's what it's all about. But Mass Mocha, I often say, what would have happened if I said no to Thomas Krenz when he came into my office with the craziest idea can even imagine, taking and he mentioned another building. He didn't come up with the Sprague building. I directed him in that effort or direction long after the fact, not long after the fact, but after his idea was first proposed. And that's where it ended up. But the thing of it is, if I had said no to it, it wouldn't have happened. And, you know, and just like when they say yes to a school should be built and they don't, and it shouldn't be built. And they also make mistakes and things like that. But I can tell you right now, it's like anything else. I always said an elementary teacher can make or break a kid along the way. And that's no disrespect for the ones later on, because they're the ones that pay the price for those decisions, but or impact that it happened. But and I think it's the same thing with some of the decisions that are made by political leaders from the local level all the way to the presidency and Congress and everything else. Those decisions will impact people one way or the other. And if they're bad, boy, they do a number on you. When they're good, you look like the hero. But I am proud of Mass Mocha and what we've been able to accomplish with it and the role that I played in it, because I often said I was the only one that didn't get paid that came out of that thing and got a job. But I got the greatest personal satisfaction because I did something, and it's a line I use quite often when talking about other people. If you can impact the lives of people you never know in a positive way when you're long gone, your walk through life won't be considered a bad one. So, but I am very proud of it. Now the number one contemporary museum of art in the country and the largest in North America. And it continues to grow. And even now I'm involved in it because, like anything else, the building's, 180 years old. And and the infrastructure is just about the same age. And so it needs to be upgraded and things like that. And but it continues to drive the economy here in the Northern Berkshire area. I wish a little more in some other ways, but I'm not in that game anymore. I'm there to help and them to move it as they see the future for it. But I know one thing is going to hopefully have the long future that something every community has, and that's a library. If it can sustain, has the sustainability of a library in a community, it'll do well. So
Well, and again, I really wanted to bring that out first and foremost because I had friends in from the Philippines, and they knew about it. So, I mean, you deserve the credit for it. I mean, as you say, you get the credit whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Some way you're going to get blamed for it. But
you know what? Credit and a buck and a half might get you a small coffee someplace. And
not anymore.
But for me, it's self-satisfaction, yeah. Because in the end, it really doesn't matter. But you know why I'm here? On this earth, I do create personal satisfaction. Yeah. And yeah. The funny part of it is when I go over there quite often. I have an office there actually, and I go over there and I see the people, and they say, "Could I have your name, please?" And who can I say is you are? And so I just chuckle to myself. I'm not saying, "Do you know who I am?" No, I just chuckle at it quite a bit. And the other proud part of Mass Mocha too is the only real prominent spot that they almost named after me, besides the restrooms, whereas the right. was the children kid space over there. I wanted that so bad as a former school teacher for the kids in the area, so they would have a place to go, and that my goal was that Mass Mocha be in North Adams, not just be in it, but be part of North Adams. And that's what they've got to continue to strive to do, and make sure that the citizens who live there also benefit from it. And they have.
Yeah.
In a way that's that they know and understand.
Well, don't you think too, it's in your mayorship, you were focused not on John, you were focused on the city and things that were happening. And I can remember you and I having a conversation that when I was at another radio station you were on. I said, Jimmy Roberto, God love him, I think the world of him, he's a big picture guy, right? He could fall in a pothole and not see it. And you could spot a pothole from a quarter of a mile away. And when you came to the city, in my opinion, and of course everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They know we represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Tyer, who's leaving the mayor's office, and Peter Marchetti, city council president, who's coming into the mayor's office. But you brought a vision, and you know, there was some heat. You know, this is not telling tales out of school. There were some people who didn't want you, blah, blah, blah. But you brought a vision for public service and public that I really think still kind of hangs in there today. And it's about fixing the pothole, you know, it really, and Jimmy was right. Look at what he did to North Street. Of course, look at what it is now, but I sit back more so now because I can't do much else, but I sit back now and look at all the evolution of North Adams and Pittsfield and Adams. You know, I understand now Miss Adams Diner's going to reopen. Or maybe.
Yeah, like I say, it's weird. And, but I used to say to some of the people when I spoke, and can you imagine calling me a visionary? Because no one saw me as a visionary. They saw me as the bull in the china closet. And, I think that in order for Mass Mocha to succeed, but even to get off the ground, was because of the people in North Adams.
That's
and
exactly.
I'll tell you one thing I understood. All they really wanted to do was to have a good place to live, a quality of life, place they could raise their kids, and hopefully get them on to college with a good educational system. In order to come along with an idea as crazy as Mass Mocha, you had to first demonstrate to them that you cared about them, and they'll support you in anything. And they did for a long, long time until the new ones came in and said, you don't know what you're talking about. And that happens. That's just the game of politics. and which I fully understand, but they support it. Not one negative letter from the day that we announced Mass MoCA to the day that we broke ground on it was came from a citizen in the city of North Adams. None of them. Even my political enemy said, yes, this is the way to go, because we involved them into it. But most importantly, before we did that, I paved the streets. I kept tax rates very low in this city. One of the lowest, not the rates, the bill, the tax bill was low in this city. They didn't have a sewer fee slapped on them. I didn't do that because I thought that would be too tough for them to handle. And after paving every street, we painted every hydrant. We put in a water filtration system after years of dirty, dirty water in some sections of the city. You had to make the infrastructure improve, and we rebuilt our downtown. We restored it to the look of the 20s, probably the 30s and 40s. I don't know, but it we restored it and it had a historic look to it. And we did all those things. And at the same time, we brought in a collegiate baseball team long before it was popular. And we rebuilt the playgrounds and added more. And we, and at the same time, we rebuilt the neighborhoods in the city. You see, that's what political leaders really don't understand today. Only, you know, probably less than 5% of them really are happy at any one, or are not happy at any one time. But you know what? They bring to you the ideas that have to be done. Some of my best ideas about building new schools and building playgrounds and the downtown came from my sharpest critics. You see, I took their ideas and they were good. And we worked with them. And that's what you don't see in politics today. If a political leader comes into office and really says, doesn't want to call the person that was there before them or the person before them and them and them, they think that's a sign of weakness. I think that's a sign of strength when they have to do that. In fact, I congratulated Peter Marchetti in a text the night that he won. And I says, I can tell you that it is a strength when you will seek the wisdom or whatever you want to call it. It's not wisdom sometimes because you do get bad advice. But when you seek the opinions of others that who have been there, don't be afraid to ask. And my God, I reached out all over the state for ideas, and many of the ideas I stole from other cities and towns and what they were doing. When we talked about cleaning up our city and making it attractive, I went to Baltimore, Maryland, a very large city, nowhere near what North Adams is all about. But he had one great idea. He called the Baltimore Best Program. And I said, well, we can do that in North Adams. We can be the best. And we started a program called Yes, Yes, North Adams Can. You know, we can be the best in certain areas. Everybody got into it. Even decorations, Christmas decorations. We were the first in the county to go with a smaller light and to decorate the trees in the downtown rather than tie ornaments to poles and stuff like that. Got it from Boston. I looked out at the Boston Common during a Christmas season when I was down there for something, and it looked absolutely beautiful with the lights strung from the trees and regular trees, not just Christmas trees. So all of those ideas, some of our educational programs, you know, even thanks to Peter Larkin way back when and others, we were one of the first middle schools in the state to have a computer for every kid.
Wow. That all is of good. Those I remember ideas, that.
We garnered from other people. And we tried to, I mean, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes people accuse me of running a dictatorship, but it was a benevolent dictatorship. Yeah. And but that was only because you were making decisions. And leaders have to make decisions. And if they're not being criticized, then they're not making decisions one way or the other. And I think that's so important in today's political world, from, like I say, from the main streets of our small communities to Pennsylvania Avenue. It's just it's so important. So,
and you have to.
I love this time more than anything. So,
yeah. Well, I will tell you, and you do know this, and I wish some of the young, newly elected, all over the viewer and listening audience, you're going to make decisions for the betterment of the whole and not a few, and those few will go after you. But, you know, I think back, and you remember Chris Connell was a city councilor here, and they had some hullabaloo, I don't know, West Housatonic shit, I don't know, some guy with a tag sale every week. But all of a sudden, the zealots wanted to have an ordinance that encompasses the whole city, very draconian, right? And Chris said, why don't we just solve the problem there? It wasn't even his ward. We have a problem. The problem isn't through the city. The problem is in one ward on one street. And he caught such grief for that, but it was the right thing.
Yeah. See, and something else that political leaders don't look at is when they make a decision, they have to step back and say, what is the consequence going to be of that decision? You can't just make it for today. You have to see what the consequence is going to be. And I mentioned earlier, whether you place a school, whether you build a school, you know, are you looking down the road? Yeah. I believe that many of the schools that are being built across the Commonwealth today wouldn't be built if the leaders prior to them had looked down the road and saw that their population is shrinking, especially the Berkshires are shrinking. And what kind of a school are we going to need? And how long will this one last to get us there? I think those are all things that you have to look at. And I guess it's like buying a scratch ticket. Some people like to do one instant gratification.
Yeah,
they don't like to do the crossword ones because that takes a little time. But you can't have instant gratification in politics or government service, whatever you want to call it. And you just can't have today's thoughts. You have to have what's the impact going to be tomorrow? And I think that's something that's critically missing in all parts of not only just government and business and every place else. I just don't think they take the time to realize what's going to happen. What's the result of my decision going to be made? Is it going to be important in 5 years? If it isn't going to be important in 5 years, you better think about it. Or don't get too wrapped up about it. You've got to think further down the road.
I used to 20 years ago, 50 years ago, I was a policy developer, and I worked for a guy who would make Attila the Hun look like Mother Teresa. And he would always say to me, Sturgeon, you're writing a damn policy for today, but what's it going to look like? What are the long-term and short-term consequences? Think of that. And I'm mopping. God rest his soul, he's dead now. But, you know, he taught me so much. One, he taught me to be a good policy developer. But two, he also taught me how not to treat people. I learned from that. But you're right. It's so much that my assessment is a lot of it's just knee jerk. We need a new school. How many? Oh, it's $100 million for, you know, it's like in Pittsfield now. We desperately need a new police station. But some of the figures coming back, it's Star Wars. I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that. I want to get into I'm happy. North Adams Regional Hospital. I had to go up there a couple times to see a specialist years ago. And what's your gut on that? You got to be happy.
Oh, I'm very happy. But, you know, we arrived at this point in 2014 when they closed the hospital down because of a bad decision.
Yeah.
You see, and this bad decision was made back, I believe, in 1988. And I was mayor at the time, and I told the administrator at the time, I don't think this is the way to go. And this was what it was. They were going to change their Medicare policies or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure, but it had an impact on critical care facilities. Now, under the new regulations, I believe North Adams and Fairview Hospital were not going to meet the regulations, which basically meant that you could not take as many Medicare patients or whatever. I'm not sure on the details of it. But I know one thing. Fairview Hospital says, yes, we want to keep our critical care access, critical care hospital access, whatever it's called, and status. I guess that's a better word. North Adams said, no, we don't need that. We're going in a different direction. And the leaders at that hospital at that time, for whatever reason, some 20 years later, it ended up 20, 25 years later, found that they could no longer operate without this designation.
Yeah.
When this designation went away, the hospital went away with it, and they were forced to close. Then you looked at South County, where they kept the designation back in 1988 or whatever time frame it was. They decided to keep it. And they have done an excellent job. Fairview Hospital is as good a hospital as you'll find, the community hospital around. And it's affiliated, of course, with Berkshire Health Systems. So now we're in a position here, thanks to Congressman Richard Neal, who was able to change how these so-called critical care access hospitals, the designation of them getting it back. So North Adams now reached the point where it fit into the category through the efforts of the congressman. And I don't know all the details of it. That's my elementary school teacher days. You got to be a jack of all trades, but master of none. And I am in that category. And what I found was that this would allow this hospital to reopen again. And I knew about it since, I think it was late December, that they were working on it. And I was notified of it. And of course, it was hard because I wanted to talk about it. But thankfully, and of course, then we just had the hearings last week. And now the home care industry, and when I mean that, the some of the nursing homes, which are operated by one company here in Berkshire County, they're no longer affiliated with Berkshire Health Systems. They broke off from them about a year ago. And they've come out, one individual and his association comes out and says, hey, we think you have to do this, this, and this. They said, we're not against your hospital, but we don't want you to do this, this, and this. You know, in other words, we want it our way. And my answer simply is that let's fix this problem, and then we will fix the problem, which are alarming in our nursing homes across this state. And I'm very concerned about it, and I've been critical of it. We just saw one that was fined in my district. I saw another one in the in my district that went out of business in the last couple of years because of things that were going to. When the first month I was in office, I was dealing with a problem over at Sweetbrook with some very serious charges were going on over there, and it ended up being closed, and it was atrocious. And you know, they're still going on. Some of them are nursing homes today, And I'll tell you, you just have to talk to the right people. You know who they are? The people that have been working in these nursing homes for 25 or 30 years. And it has to be looked at. And I'm not afraid to take, you know, being a state rep could be a very easy job if you didn't work it in the sense that you didn't go out and create your own things that you want to get into. But these are serious problems that exist, and they're impacting my friends and my neighbors and their families that are going on in these nursing homes. And I think that the individuals that are basically being critical of the North Adams Regional Hospital, former North Adams Regional Hospital becoming a critical care access hospital, are just, they got a hell of a lot of nerve in my opinion. And they should be working. It's needed. And you know what's needed? They got to fix their own problems in their nursing homes. When you come out and see that Williamstown Commons was fined just a couple of weeks ago, $47,000. What's that tell you? And then I have a nasty letter written in the paper by the vice chairman of the board of this nursing homes saying, I ought to go talk to the leader of them because he knows how to run nursing homes. And Barrett, you don't know a damn thing about running. You're damn right I don't, but I know there's some problems there. Yeah. And they should be fixed. I saw it during COVID, and I'm still seeing it today.
Well, and again, I don't have a dog in this fight, but I will say this. Years ago, I was an EMT, and they talk about the critical hour, right? The golden hour. And my thing is, it's wonderful. We got great ambulance services. I'm not saying anything about EMTs and all that. But if you fall down in North Adams, they got to bring you and you're bad or you're seriously injured. They got to package you up, and that's what we used to call it, package you up and ship you to BMC, where they're going to make an assessment. Oh, we can't handle it here. It's going to Bay State. Well, if you're in North Adams and you get hurt, you go to North Adams Hospital. They look at you and say, we can't handle it here. We're going to ship you to Bay State via ambulance. It's a competitive world, and this is just my two cents. It's a competitive world run by insurance, not by healthcare.
Well, I don't want to get into that. I got enough fights going on, but I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah,
it's terrible. It's terrible. But I even with Medicare, as I say to a lot of people who say, we don't need any more of these entitlements. I says, how old are you? Well, are you on Medicare? Yep. That's the biggest entitlement there is in the federal government. Thank God we've got it.
Yeah.
Or there'd be people that it would be awful for them without the right insurance or nothing. And
I didn't mean to step on you. I get so angry when I hear people say that. I get really, and you know, you and I have had this discussion. I can remember being when the Spectrum raised their fee for per box, $7. And I went to a hearing in the basement of the Pittsfield Library. And this old lady, my age, stood up and said, I only live on my Social Security. And you may not think $7 a month is a lot, but to me, it's a copay for my medicine or some groceries or a taxi cab ride. So, I mean, that's what strikes me. I don't mind paying. I'm okay. But when I see some of these other people and there's no, like you said, Medicare, people would be dying. Really?
Well, yeah, and I'll just jump to the Spectrum and broadband and cable TV for 1 second. I mean, I've been fighting them for better than 30 years. I've got articles where we took them into court and they backed down, and things that were going on. And thank God we had the senators in office, Kennedy and Kerry at that time, who basically went to Time Warner, who were the owners at that time. Back then, and said, hey, listen, you got to stop this. You see, we've never lost in Berkshire, in Northern Berkshire, the Boston stations. We've had them. Yeah. After I left, they took one away, the WCVB, which was the old Channel 5, which was a great. Yeah. And we kept BZ on the schedule, which is very important, especially our Patriot fans.
Yeah,
I don't know how many are left these days, but the way they're playing, but they still get the access to that, and which I felt was always so important. But what we're looking at right now, the state of Massachusetts has $147 million to close the so-called digital divide. Well, the digital divide, I can't even say it. In my looking at things is that means we got to make the playing field level for everybody. And that means we have to have competition for Spectrum. And we had one hearing up in my district, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And they had one in Pittsfield, which was not well attended as it was in North Adams Adams at that time, because people didn't know about it. But one thing that I was there, and I said to the so-called consultant, and who I happen to like because he's on the right page, the plan is simple for what's going to happen to close the digital divide in the northern Berkshire and eventually all of Berkshire County is that they are going to allow municipalities to build their own systems. They've done it, I believe, in the town of Washington or Washington.
Greenfield.
Greenfield have done it. They are going to hopefully recommend and finance the a municipal broadband service, which the public can tap into, and it can be competitive with Spectrum. Now, Spectrum right now is charging over $100 a month. I think it's around $110 a month just for your cable, or not your internet and your and a phone. Right. And if you throw cable into it, you're up in the $250 area as the average bill right now. That can be brought down when they make broadband, and then we teach, because there's a generation out there that doesn't understand streaming. They don't understand how to do it. The boxes you referred to are now irrelevant. You don't need them if you get a smart TV.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of things you have to know about it. And part of that recommendation, hopefully, will say Berkshire County should be given the money necessary to build their own broadband service. Not cable. That's what you got to make sure there's a distinction. But it will allow people to hook into the Hulus, into the YouTubes, and those other services. Even right now, as we're speaking, you know what Spectrum's doing? They're offering a streaming service for free for a year so they can get people, they're throwing the hook out there to get them to hook onto it, and they're going to have their own streaming service and try to keep people. Well, that's going to be well and fine because that's easy for other people. See? Yeah. But it's still not going to solve the problem of bringing the cost down. So I think that if that happens, and that's one of the reasons I've hung around, you know, people saying, when's Barrett leaving? When I get this cable thing straightened out, hopefully, and a few other things along the way, too. But I enjoy doing it. I enjoy this part of it. I'm not afraid to get into the ring and do it for them. And you know, say whatever they want, but I don't have any problem speaking up because I actually believe in this stuff. It's, where am I going after my political career after this job? I have no ambitions. But I spoke this way. As someone said, "Oh, you're becoming unfiltered." I said, "I was unfiltered at 25."
They didn't know you very well.
I don't know. It's fun too, I guess. But
we got to take a 1 minute break here, folks. Please stay tuned. We've got a lot more to cover with Representative John Barrett. One thing about, in case you haven't picked this up, Representative Barrett isn't bashful. But we'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. I'm very honored and privileged to have a guy I've known for a very long time. He says it like he sees it. There's no malarkey, as my Irish mother would say. His name is John Barrett. He's a state representative. He represents Northern Berkshire County. And we were just concluding. I started the conversation by all that he did with Mass Mocha, when no one would have ever thought that would, now it's worldwide. Reputation is worldwide, and so many other things. But we were just talking about cable TV and streaming. I want to just say this, and it's beyond the beyond, but it'll come back again. I want to take my hat off to Jim Clark here and the senior center people here. When the COVID hit, they come out with a computer program, right? And they said, sign up for your shots. You go online, blah, 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 blah. And then they said in the group that's most interested is 65 and above. Well, the computer program 65 and above, it could have been in Chinese for most of us. And Jim Clark and I forget how many thousands of people they enrolled. So I think there's a group of people in government. They're wonderful people. I'm not, but they have to understand there's still some of us out here that really aren't computer literate. And when they do these wonderful things, they just have to remember that. But you know, I had to take my hat off to that, because I know in the future, if that comes up, you'll be watching that. Because a lot
maybe that's a constituency I grew up with, but yeah, we're now getting younger people into to help, you know, getting money for senior centers so that they can help people learn about the internet, learn how to use it, learn how to stream things on their TV, things like this. This is very, very important. And the reason that I'm cognizant of all of this is that when we first announced Mass MoCA and we opened it up, and Sprague at that time was leaving town, but they were kind enough to say, the owners of it say, listen, you are move ahead with your project and whatever will be, but we're going to allow you to use some of the property there. The first thing I think it was called C1, and it was in the building, the first building where the executive offices where Sprague were. And we opened up a center there. I don't know what, maybe 1989, 90, somewhere in there. There was a computer center, and computers were a new thing. Internet was unknown. Yeah. And to teach people how to use it, because that's where the jobs were going to be, whether it be at a supermarket, a restaurant, or working in a company someplace. All skilled jobs, unskilled jobs, you needed to have those computers. So I recognized, only because somebody else told me to recognize it, I guess, that this was the wave of the future, and we got into it early. Yeah. Now, the wave of the future really is, for a lot of people, is broadband and the importance of broadband to our economy, making sure that we have the best part of it. And we do need effective competition, and people have to know how to use it. These kids coming through our school systems today are so much smarter than we are. They don't know as much yet, but they are so much smarter, and we've got to give them an opportunity to show their skills. And and boy, we have some talented kids. It could be a robotics program at Mount Greylock, or a program at Drury High School, or Hoosick Valley, or McCann, which is the creme de la creme of vocational technical schools in the state. You know, all those things, we got to give these kids the opportunity and make sure that they, but at the same time, we can't leave behind those that don't have the skills exactly that need to have them too. Because that's where our workforce really is. Workforce is, I guess I'm a classic example of it. Long after 60, they're going to be working.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see it in various places you go. I see some of my peers, you know, they're got second jobs, part-time work, just to kind of ease the buffer.
Yeah, they have to. They have to.
Yeah. But you guys have done a lot, and I have to say this. The Massachusetts legislature, in my opinion, should be a role model for the Congress on how to get things done. The one thing that I, only because of this radio station used to be at the Conic. And when you would see some of those kids come in on Monday morning almost at a dead run to get to breakfast. You didn't have to be a psychologist to realize these kids are hungry. And now that you've opened it up that all kids can get lunch, that takes away from the stigma of some of the kids who were embarrassed.
Absolutely.
If you did nothing this year, I think that was great.
Yeah, I'll tell you the importance of that is that even when you and I were going to school, that kid that was go up there and get the token for the free lunch was embarrassed. We both knew kids that wouldn't go up and get it. Because they were embarrassed, and their good friends would give them food at lunch to help them get through it. And a kid today, growing up in our world, this is a tough world. I tell you, I wouldn't want to be a parent for all the money in the world because they got the toughest job out there. And what kids are facing now in social media and, bullying that goes on in schools. We saw it when we were growing up. It was confined. And now it's across social media, kids getting, it's difficult for them. And now not to give them a lunch. See, the federal government came through with the money to pay for this program during COVID to make sure that was happening, that kids were well fed. The Massachusetts legislature said, we should invest in this too. And they have. The legislature too has invested a great deal of money into mental health. Mental health used to be a stigma that was out there. And when you find out the number of people that you didn't know had these problems, and now we're investing in programs and making sure, not programs as much as opportunity to seek help and get help. And it's just so important that they have this opportunity. And every one of us in our family has it if we don't have it.
That's right.
And it's there. It's there and it has to be addressed. So that's one good thing. That there's some things I don't like, but that's only normal. But I'll tell you, overall, it's been quite an experience and an eye-opener serving down there. It's the place. They call it the people's house. But you know what it should be called? The house where you can help people. And it really can. And that's and it could be just a helping an RMV problem, but it's a place where you can truly help. And I've gotten into that quite a bit, which is probably takes a lot of time. But my two aides are two of the best young ladies, and they're out there working very hard to help people. And they have. I'm proud of them.
You know, I have to say that your attitude towards government service is much different than not much, but than different than some people's. You work to help and guide, and make the system, and I mean that, work for the people that the system was designed to work for, and that's a compliment, because through the years, I worked on Capitol Hill for a while, and it was like the Kennedys, Ted Kennedy at the time, and others. And, whether you liked Ted Kennedy or didn't like Ted Kennedy, I believe in my heart that he always had the people up front. Now, I could be wrong. But I saw.
I mean, you're absolutely correct. Ted Kennedy, most people either loved him or hated him.
Right.
When I first got into politics at a very young age, in 23, 24, state committee man, Ted Kennedy was Ted Kennedy number one.
Yeah.
And he was just disengaged in a lot of ways because he was a senator, senator. And, then I got to know the Ted Kennedy number two, who changed in a remarkable way that really allowed him to be who he was. And even though he was writing all this good legislation that would benefit you know, people of need, seniors especially. There's so much health care he addressed long before it was possible. But I got to know Ted Kennedy number two, the one that became, it wasn't intimidated by other elected officials, didn't look at him. He became a human being and the most compassionate guy that I never knew existed underneath that rough skin. In a way, I shouldn't say rough, the one that he put a shield around himself, the senator. Yeah. And I was fortunate to see and you know, got to know him fairly well. And it was after I made a very critical statement about him back in 1992 or 1993, that obviously our senators were out of touch about some legislation. And it ended up in the Boston Globe. I didn't know there was a reporter in the room. And I got a call from Ted Kennedy the next day when I was mayor. What is up? What the hell's wrong with you mayors? You don't appreciate anything. You know, I'm out here doing everything. I can remember saying to Senator, nothing personal, but I see you once in a while coming up and marching in my parade up here.
Right.
But outside of that, we haven't been close and dear. And he says, well, we're going to be. And he said, you put together a meeting of the mayors, and he said, the light just went off, basically. And he, over the last, 15, 16 years of his life, he was close to the mayors in the state and other public officials. He did more in that time to benefit cities and towns across Massachusetts, the country for that matter, in a way that I've never seen. And it was just a remarkable change. I, who did not have much love for him when I first knew, ended up really loving the guy at the end. And I can't say enough about his wife, Vicky, who became, I think had a lot to do with him in seeing things differently. I think that, it was, and I can remember, I was invited to his funeral, myself and Menino were the only two mayors there from Massachusetts. And I think one other, Chicago Daly, was there. And it was just remarkable, the affection that he had gotten from people that just had no use for him for several years. And even now I hear people say, Kennedy was no good. He was nothing but a lefty liberal, blah, blah, blah. And I bring up do you have Medicare, Medicaid? No. Do you have those things? Because there's the guy that really, really did it for you. And did I agree with all the things? No way. But I do believe that he was just he left his impact and he will truly touch people's lives that he's never met because of the legislation that he got passed. But at the same time, I also remember going to that, and I was on a bus with some real big shots, but looking around and seeing the signs that were against him, good, rotten hell, you know, you were no good, we're glad you're gone. I don't have any use for that stuff, but
I have to tell you, with what's going on in the world, on TV, in the Middle East, I'm really you're a former teacher, I was, but I'm a avid historian, reader, reading history, and you know the old saying, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. We are repeating it, so I wish some of these knuckleheads would read, get beyond the signs and the placards. But I before we run out of time, you've brought it up, and I hold the guy in the highest esteem, Congressman Richard Neal. What a blessing he is to Western Mass and all of the country. I mean, he had a big job there for a long time,
and he will again. I'm sure that he's not done yet. He, it's just a passion with him to help people and everything else. But I've known Richie Neal since, I think, 1986. We were both mayors, or 88.
Yeah.
And he's just moved forward in a way that I never expected. And And I'm very proud of that he came from the ranks of the mayors, and but that's helped him understand a lot of the issues. He has done so much. He has used his office in the wisest way to benefit the people. You never see him, as you had mentioned earlier, on the nightly news, or when he was in the middle of getting Donald Trump's tax returns released. It was his committee that did it and got it done. He never said it, and it took 2 years, and they kept saying, where is it? He says, don't worry, it's coming. And it came. And and what he's done for Western Mass, for so many projects and so many things, you know, and it's the old Irish saying, you never forget whence you came. Richie Neal never forgot it. He's not a big shot acting at all. He's just a down to earth. Yep. He helped in my district immensely with millions of dollars for economic development projects that are going to be really the future of this area. And he did it. And he did it without fanfare. If we didn't say it that he helped us, you wouldn't know about it.
No.
You know, he never worried about tomorrow's editorial and what it would say, and he never worried about tomorrow's press release. He just didn't. He didn't get the credit that he deserves, in my mind.
Well, you're exactly right, John, and that's why every chance I get, I try to promote and let the people know, hey, Pittsfield got $40 million. Their ARPA, or MARPA, or SNARPA, or one of those things, and he came up and he gave it, and then he just poof, he's gone. When I worked there, he was many years ago. He was new and I was transient, but the you could tell then, and you know, I've interviewed him and I love what he said. Creating legislation isn't easy; it's cooperating, it's giving and taking. And you know, and I know, John, there's some people that, you know, God only knows what they've got inside their head. But I thank the good Lord for Richie Neal. I thank the good Lord for you and our whole delegation. You know, think about what, and I want people to think about this too, what these people go to Boston, what you have brought home from rural bus transportation for schools. There's all kinds of things that I got a whole sheet of them here. I dug it out, but it's too late. And it's typical.
Good. People don't want to hear about that.
Yeah. Well, I think, but I do think sometimes rather than be so critical, like you said, at least we forget. John, I can't thank you enough, man, for being coming on. This is going to play Thanksgiving week. So,
oh my gosh, really? Well, then in that case, I've got to wish everybody a very, very happy Thanksgiving, a healthy one, a peaceful one, and hopefully that grumpy uncle like me won't be at the table complaining about everything. So, but happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all you do for all of Western Mass and all of the Commonwealth. And we'll be celebrating William Hudson Sturgeon's first Thanksgiving. So I imagine we'll be having one good time. Thank you. And we'll be in touch. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, you and yours.
You also, you and the Polish princess.
The Polish princess is upstairs getting ready right now for the baby coming.
Great.
Or baby-proofing the house.
Good. That's what it's all about. Family, in the end, that's all you really have.
I'm exhausted, but we'll go from there. All right, folks. I got a couple of announcements. Thanks, John. You are the best. Just so that everybody knows, the Bazaar, St. Mary's Bazaar in Lee, will be on Sunday, November the 19th. Please support that bazaar. They are wonderful people, and they're doing wonderful things. Also, the Shindy, which will be at the Lutheran Church on First Street, that's going to be December the 9th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I had a couple more, and I can't. St. Joseph's is coming up very soon. And give me 1 second. Perhaps I can find it. Perhaps I can find it. But if I can, you'll be the first to know. What I did is I took a picture of it. And then I printed it, but I can't find either. But anyhow, I'll put it up on the Facebook. This is Thanksgiving. Excuse me. Coming up. We all have a lot to be thankful for. And all I'm going to say to people is, before things get too out of hand in the Middle East and all everywhere, let's stop back and start to respect each other just a little bit more. And I say that because it is Thanksgiving. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of meanness in the world. And I would just say, for my little spot in the world, let's be good to each other. But think about it. Each other, that's all that we have. And that said, God bless you all. I'll see you soon. And coming up, happy Turkey Day. Thanks so much. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your family. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Take care. Keep on.